Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Worship and Coffee podcast. I'm here in my leaf-infested backyard, and when I was setting up everything, the sun was not in my face. So now you're getting this nice dark shadow, and I had to put the hat on. But here we are. Oh, and there it goes away. So glad that you're able to join us today. Today we're still in Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis for a bit, but we're looking at, last week we talked about the perfect worship that existed before the fall, and today is all about when worship got broken. And for the coffee for the day, we have this. I've been sort of waiting for a nice outdoor episode, so today is the day. This is one of my many coffee toys called the Bripe, and the Bripe's got all sorts of little parts and pieces to it, but it's this, it's a coffee pipe. We'll have to cut me dropping that more often. And it's got a number of pieces to it. It's got a little thermometer, so you can make sure that you're heating up the water to the proper temperature. Comes a little handy-dandy test tube for putting your coffee in. Today we have Just Black by the Black Rifle Coffee Company. And it comes with this glorious torch for making the coffee nice and hot. This was invented for hiking, and I'm going to talk while I'm preparing this coffee. It's a little bit of a process. But anyway, so yes, it smells very chocolatey, actually. It's a really good blend here. So we're going to, you know, add some grounds in the bottom of this. That was too many. That's going to be some nasty stuff. Hold on. Now we're making a mess. Okay. Still too much. That'll work. I don't know. Well, we'll see how well it goes, won't we? All right. So, today, like I said, we are in Genesis 2. 3, actually. I'm sorry. Genesis 3. We're in Genesis 1 and 2 last time. Let me just pour a little bit of water in here. And we'll begin our creation of our drink. So, yep, that should be good. So, here in Genesis 3, and we read about this serpent. The serpent that's coming to tempt Adam and Eve, and he tempts them by saying that they can be like God. So, God gave them the chance for life. God gave them the chance to be with him in the garden forever. But he did not say, you will know what good and evil are. He said, here's a tree. You need to stay away from that tree. And, yep, this is me lighting up my coffee in the backyard. So God says, here, I've made this garden. I would love you to come and to be here with me, to walk with me, to enjoy my creation that I've made for you. And the serpent says, but wouldn't you rather be just like God, knowing what good and evil is? And of course, as you know, Adam and Eve go, what does it mean to be just like God? And from this moment on, worship is broken. Something is not the way it's supposed to be. And now, instead of communing with God in the garden, man is hiding from God in the garden. And instead of what should have been perfect worship, we now have brokenness, we now have confusion, we now have pain, we now have suffering, we now have toilsome work, weeds coming up. Everything about the way it was supposed to be is turned upside down now. And worship from this moment on has been broken. And we're still waiting the day when it's going to be completely fixed. Of course, we know that Jesus did a huge work to reorder worship and to bring us back into communion with God in a new way. And we'll learn about pretty soon about all the things that happened in Israel as God was sort of instructing on worship. All right, hang on. I'm going to just finish this up really quick. Then I'll go back and start reading in the book here. We're almost done. All righty. Cut it up to temperature. But I think we're about ready to take a drink of this now. And so there's a little stainless steel filter inside of here. And then you just drink and it goes, just filters the coffee as you're drinking it. So here we go. Oh yeah, it's actually not bad. There might be a little bit of a, maybe a few too many grounds in there. It's quite strong. But yeah, that chocolate smell I got when I opened that test tube, it is full of very chocolatey sort of flavor. It's not flavored coffee. It just has a very sort of chocolate notes to it. But yeah, turned out pretty good. Maybe a little strong, but not bad. So the Bripe, I don't generally light up coffee pipes in my backyard, but today, listen to that slurp. Sorry about that. Maybe I'll bring that down. So anyway, now we're going to go and open the book here. So we see what happens. God has now then creates the first sacrifice to sort of cover up the sin of Adam and Eve. So he sacrifices this ram, I believe. I'll find it in here somewhere. And he made clothing from skins. Doesn't actually say in my version which type of animal. But he kills an animal and makes clothing from skins. And he covers the man and the wife, Adam and Eve, now in their shame. But then we sort of see in chapter 4, then, we see the first act of worship. Let me grab my notes here real quick. We see the first act of worship, and that is, again, there's this sacrifice that God has required. And maybe he communicated that to Adam and Eve, and now they're communicated to his children, to their children. There's not a lot that we really know about what's going on here, just that Adam and Eve had these two boys, Cain and Abel, and that they somehow were aware that some sort of sacrifice was part of their worship for God. So, as you know, you probably all heard this, Abel became a shepherd of flocks, but Cain worked the ground. In the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. And Cain was furious, and he looked despondent. So this is very interesting because it doesn't really mention anything about what type of offering Cain may have offered. It just says that Abel offered the firstborn of his flocks and their fat portions. So there's plenty of commentator opinions about maybe what could have gone on here and what God's reason was for disregarding Cain's offering. Perhaps it was that Cain brought the leftovers from his crops. Maybe he brought the wilted and the moldy parts of his crops. Maybe he just took simply the first for himself and gave God what was next. And again, we don't know what God communicated to them about what type of offerings were necessary or that he desired. But we know that it's very clear that whatever Cain did is not that. So thankfully, as we will see in further episodes, further in the Bible, God's going to get very, very specific in the future about what he's looking for. But at this point, we don't have the information about God, what God was looking for. But we do see in verse 6 here that God was still talking to them in a way that he doesn't talk to us, or that he eventually talked to very few people. The Lord said to Cain, so here he is, God now talking to Cain directly, "Why are you furious, and why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." So clearly, whatever Cain did was not right. And God's saying to him, just do the right thing. Just do the right thing. Present to me an offering in the way that I desire for you to present this offering. And it sounds like he's sort of giving Cain a chance. Like, hey man, just reverse course here. Just take a step back. Just go out and get the right parts of your harvest and then present those to me and everything will be good. Don't feed sin. Don't allow our relationship to be broken, to be messed up. Just do what is right and rule over the sin in your life. I mean, that's like the lesson for us today, tomorrow, and forever and ever and ever. Sin is crouching at our door. Sin's desire is for us to take over our lives, to ruin and break everything, but we must rule over it. And I don't remember where the quote came from, but I heard a quote many, many years ago that was something along the lines of, our sin is so prevalent in our lives that it even comes into, it even is with us when we're in the presence of God. So, of course, we can argue that we're always in the presence of God, but what the quote was meaning to communicate was simply when we're at those times, when we're opening the Word, when we're praying, when we are singing praises to God, whether at home or as gathered believers in the church, that even in those places, we can't escape the brokenness that our sin has caused. And I'm certain, if you're anything like me, that you've had times where you've been praying and sinful thoughts come into your head and you go, I'm trying to talk to God here. Sin, leave me alone. And sometimes I entertain those thoughts a little bit too long, and sometimes I dismiss them and go back to communing with the Lord. But this is the problem that we've had since the beginning. This is the problem that Cain had. And obviously it's not that relevant for our discussion here, but of course Cain then goes and murders his brother. So Cain's response to misaligned worship is murder. Now, hopefully our response to misaligned worship is repentance and, turning from. That we look, and if someone confronts us and says, hey, your worship is misordered here. You've made an idol of something, and you're worshiping this thing. And so maybe it was, again, we're just speculating here, maybe Cain wanted the best for himself. And instead of giving God the first fruits of his labor, he said, no, I want what is best. I want what I want. And in that way, we see that selfishness itself is one of the sins that gets in our way of worship. And we see that manifest itself in a lot of different ways in the church, right? You know, a lot of people have various opinions and preferences about what corporate worship should look like. Thankfully, many of you watching this, probably most of you watching this, are part of my church. And yeah, people still have their opinions. And a lot of people are expressing them from time to time. But very few people in the time that I've been at Trinity are they're not mean. They're just like, hey, I like this, or hey, I like this, and hey, let's have a talk about this. And that's great. Let's have conversation. Let's discuss about what it means to gather together and to worship God. But when we start belittling people or getting in fights, a lot of churches have split over the past, the last 30 years, but really when you look at church history, the way that the church worships together has been a point of contention for almost every generation for thousands of years. Everybody's got the way that they think things should be done, and if it's not being done that way, then they say, well, this isn't right, and this isn't right. And every generation has to re-answer that question, how are we going to worship God together for this generation? And again, really glad to be in a place where there's not a lot of arguing about that. People come and we can have good discussion and we can make changes that are positive for everybody. But we start here. We start with this book and we start by looking at, first we start by hearing the Word of God, and then we try as best as we think we can to do the Word of God. Now, again, what's interesting too is, let's see, where are we? 425. Yes. So this idea of worshiping God, I mean, Adam and Eve and their family, they're the ones that are figuring this out sort of for everybody. And God hasn't given them, certainly not the level of instruction he's going to give Israel when we get to Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. But here, in her grief after the loss of her son, she and Adam have another child named Seth. Now, we don't know how many other children they may have had, but here they have a child, and she names him Seth. This is verse 25 of chapter 4. For she said, God has given me another child in the place of Abel. And here at this moment, and we see this sort of pattern of naming children as acts of praise and thanksgiving to God, really throughout a good portion of the Old Testament. And so here in this moment, we have a mom who has a new baby and says, this is a gift from God. And she praises God, her creator, for this good gift of a new son. But the story doesn't get a lot better for a long time here, friends. As we continue to read through the Old Testament as a church, and again, I'm just taking notes as I'm going through there, and we're way ahead in our reading than I am on this podcast. It really doesn't get any better. And even today, it is still a struggle for us to keep rightly ordered worship. And we know reading in many places, especially in the New Testament, but there are still a number of passages in the Old Testament where rightly ordered worship starts in our hearts. Yes, there are actions that God wants us to take, especially, again, we're going to read in Israel that there's very specific actions that God wants us to take. But if our hearts are not in the right place, those actions are simply actions. So even if Cain, maybe he did bring the best he had. Maybe he did. We don't know. We don't have all the details. Maybe he did bring the best he had, but his heart may have been in the wrong place. He may have come to worship grumbling and complaining because he wanted that harvest for himself. Maybe he thought he deserved something better than what he had. Maybe he was grumbling and complaining because he wished that he had the sheep that Abel had that he was able to bring. So it might not have even been the physical materials that were brought to the offering. It may have simply been the posture at which he came before God. And so that's our lesson for today. What is our posture before God as we come to him? So if you're like many people in Western churches, that when you hear the word worship, you think we're going to sing some songs. Now, hopefully, throughout the course of this podcast and beyond, that you will hear from me that singing songs is a great way to worship God, but singing songs is not the definition. Singing songs is not the definition of worshiping God. And in fact, what we're going to see as we go through this, that there are more examples of people worshiping God not through song than there are people worshiping God through song. But that being said, so when you think, I'm going to come and worship God, I'm going to approach his throne, we're going to come as a church body, and we're going to sing a song. So you get to church and the musicians are up on the platform and they begin to sing, and I'm going to sing with them. So what type of worship are you bringing to that moment? That is the question. Are you coming with hearts full of gratitude and thanksgiving and joy for your Savior? Or are you just moving your mouth and words are coming out, but your heart is far from God? Because that's what He wants. He doesn't want you just to honor Him with your lips. He wants you to honor Him with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. So when you come to worship, whether it is when you come to church each and every Sunday morning, or when you open up the Word to read, or when you pray in your room alone, or when you're with your family, whatever acts of worship that you're bringing to God, big and small, where's your heart? That's, I have to ask myself that all the time. And many times it's in the wrong place, and I have to go, all right, we got to get this fixed. You know, again, I talked about small solitudes, mentioning Sabbath last time, and just this idea of sitting here in my backyard, the sun shining on my face, the wind rustling through the leaves, probably making all sorts of great sounds on the microphone, and the beauty of the fall colors, the clouds blowing off in the sky, the bright blue sky that we have today. What a great moment just to thank God for what He's done. To thank God for His creation and the little bits of beauty He gets to treat us with each and every day. We had a massive rainbow yesterday at the end of a rainstorm. The sun came out and this huge, full rainbow filled the sky. Always start with the heart. Well, this was a little shorter today, but that's okay. We'll breeze through probably a good more bit of Genesis. There's a couple of really interesting points in the next episode or two. And I'm glad that you've joined us. But as you can see, I've got a leaf problem going on. So I think my Bripe is empty. So no more coffee for me. But thanks for joining me on the Worship in Coffee podcast. And we'll see you next time. But I got to get to work.